Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The Survivor Specialist Phil McKenna are back, and today we are discussing week 3 of Australian Brains versus Braun 2, episodes 7, 8, and 9 flying by. I guess this is how these seasons always go live. I wouldn't know because it's my first one, but man, it just feels like, okay, we're already 9 episodes in. That's insane. I understand that we still have 15 left, but I'm like, whew. Calm down, everybody. And it's funny to wake up in the mornings now. My algorithm has officially changed so that Australian Survivor makes its way in. And it's funny to wake up in the mornings and just see people tweeting about Australian Survivor when I get up. And I'm like, give me a second, everybody. Give me a second to like get a glass of water and at least turn my laptop on before we do this. So here we are, episodes 7 through 9. We got a hostage strategy. We got a blindside with an idol play, a non-idol play. We got a tribe swap. We got the demise of Rich. Unfortunately, I love myself some Rich. I know that that's not maybe the most popular thing to say, but Rich was so entertaining. We had a lot to dive into. I mean, there's a lot that happened in these episodes, and I think the best place to start is the alley boot, which happened in episode number 6. Zara comes out in episode number 7 here and right off the bat is saying, oh no, I messed up. I think using the exact line from Brain versus Braun 1, I cooked that one. Like literally the exact same line that is used when the person messes up the vote split in Brain versus Braun 1. I thought that was hilarious. And so Zara says that. We don't obviously see much of Zara in this stretch of episodes. She only goes to one tribal council and it's not till episode 9. And we do hear from her. We hear from her from time to time, but were people buying that she messed up? It seemed like they were. It
seemed like they were. Yeah. Because I think without Karen voting, I think Zara botching it is more plausible. If Karen voted, then I think they would have caught on to a certain alliance.
Yeah, because that was when Karen and Laura got sent packing from the tribal council by Max, who leaves himself out of his own situation and keeps trying to go after Miles, which ends up coming to a conclusion in episode 9. So we literally get a 9-episode storyline of Max trying to boot Miles everything he can and then ultimately getting himself voted out of the game, which is always funny. So Zara does this. That's literally how it all started. And then we get the tribe swap right away. And I'm just going to read off what the tribes are so that everybody can keep track. Because this is the hardest part of the season for me when I'm doing Patreon. I've said it a lot. I try not to get the spoilers. I try to stay as unspoiled as possible. I have no idea who wins Brain versus Braun 1. And I try to keep it that way. And the best way to keep it that way is to avoid Wikipedia. Because you go to Wikipedia, the winner of the season is in the first paragraph on Wikipedia. You go to any of these... you know, like Survivor Wiki, it's going to tell you who won the season. So I try to avoid. So whenever there's a tribe swap, I'm like, wait, I still don't even know who all these people are. how am I supposed to remember who's on each tribe? So I've gotten good at writing it down. So here's our tribes this time, which now I can actually look at this cast. So that makes it nice. But Orange, this cracks me up that they're still calling them Brains and Brawn.
They still do that no matter what, like, season theme it is or whatever. Even if they're not heroes or villains, if they're not Brains or Brawn, they're still the Brain tribe and the Brawn tribe.
Well, and it's funny because later in these episodes, JLP's like, the Brawn tribe, showing what they're made of when they're carrying the boat.
I know.
Like, but they're not like, the Brawn tribe anymore.
Yeah.
In fact, Ursula is gone. So really, it's Noonan, it's Kristen.
And Polly.
Yeah, there's only three Brawns. So really, it's like, why is the Brain tribe so much stronger? Anyway, here's the tribe. So Brain, which is Orange. I'm just going to call them Orange because I feel stupid calling them Brain. Ben, Laura, PD, Kate, Morgan, Miles, Zara, Jesse, and Max. And then Brawn, which is Green, Ursula, Kaylin, Rich, AJ, Logan, Noonan, Polly, Kristen, and Karen. And Laura is very concerned about this swap because she feels like she's on the wrong side of the numbers. That's really what we hear right when this takes place, is that Laura is the most paranoid because that Orange side is outnumbered by former Brawn. And yeah, so there we go. Wins reward. Green wins the reward. They get the sandwiches. But let's talk about, how did you think that this tribe swap worked out for people? And obviously we know who the first three boots post tribe swap are, but what was your initial reaction when you saw it?
Well, obviously we kept hearing from Miles throughout the tribe swap, the majority of his alliance is on the new Brawn tribe. And I'm like, he has to be stuck with like not one of his people. So before Zara even picked her buff, I was like, he has to be stuck with Zara and the other three, Kaylin, Karen, and AJ have to be on the other side. Mm-hmm. So I knew he was left alone. And then Max being with him and Logan being with him were terrible. So I think the pairings of the Brains on new Brain got awful for all of them to even have a hope to work together. Because mainly Max and his chaos.
Well, because we even see it in episode 9 here, like the only time that this tribe goes to tribal, Max actually comes up with a pretty clear plan. Like Laura comes up with a pretty clear plan. Laura says, if the four of us vote together, if they split, we're good. We just have to stay strong. And then Miles can just play the idol because they're going to vote for Miles. Mm-hmm. And Max immediately runs over and is like, hey guys, I actually don't want to do this. I want to work with Jesse and I want to work with Ben, which by the way, I think it was episode number 8, I believe. Yes, episode number 8, Ben spoke finally. So I think that was his first confessional, was episode number 8. Good for Ben.
Brawn,
good
job. Winner pick, let's go.
Yeah, congratulations on finally arriving on my TV screen. But the way that this shakes out is Max goes over and then Jesse actually makes a great point. It's like they're all standing around and it's Jesse, Ben, and I want to say maybe it's Kristen. I have it written down and we'll get there eventually. But they say, well, do you think that Max also has an idol? And that's
no,
why
yeah, they were convinced no.
But they were convinced no, but they bring it up as almost like, is Max trying to play this so hard that he gets a 3-3-3 tie, knows where the votes are going, offsets both sets of votes, and then gets the person that he's looking at booted from the game. It's not a bad strategy. It's not a bad mindset. It kind of makes sense in some world, but at the end of the day, it's like, no, Max was just too chaotic. And I will say, I appreciate how aggressive they're playing. It's been fun, whatever. Calm the hell down. It's episode number 7, 8, and 9. Why are we moving like it's 3? Like we're at final 6. Like it's just playing so aggressively so early. And Max got into the whole idea of like, well, if you just sit around, then you don't make it deep in the merge or whatever excuse he wanted to come up with. It's like, and dude, you're at 18.
Laura had the point of like, we're just going to be at the bottom of this alliance. And Max is like, no way. And Laura's like, all right, bud. But she's right. If the numbers just aren't there to combat the other votes, she might as well just hop on board.
Yeah.
But like, I don't get in what world Max thought that he wasn't going to be at the bottom here.
I don't know what he was thinking. He never saw it coming that he was going to get the other votes. As soon as Miles played his idol, why are you not just getting up and playing your idol? He just played as a backup. Like,
he didn't want to lose Jezebel.
I know, crazy. I'm sitting here and I'm watching Miles get up and play his idol.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched that take place and I'm like, okay, Max, it's your turn. Okay, Max, it's your turn. It never happens. And it's like, no. You knew you were voting for Miles. Even if you were convinced everybody was going to vote for Kate, all it takes is a little slip up and you go home. And maybe he's thinking, oh, nobody's voting for me. But it's like, you watch the person who you assume is getting the majority of votes.
He hates you.
And he hates you. So who's he going for? Crazy.
Yeah, for sure. What else do we got here?
Well, we want to go back
to the swipe? Yeah. Time swap. So the brains arrive at the new Braun camp and they're like, oh my gosh, this shelter is the Taj Mahal, because we've gotten like 2 episodes worth of clips of, man, this shelter sucks in the brains camp. So now they have these triple decker sandwiches and this like elite living conditions.
And what else do they have? They have an elite rivalry, which is Ursula sitting there while they're eating the sandwiches saying, I'm on the bottom. I'm on the bottom. I stink, blah, blah, blah. And so where did you stand on Noonan versus Ursula? Who are you siding with more in this argument?
Ursula is my favorite Disney villain. Hmm. Noonan, I like more as a character. But they both have merits of, like, Noonan is a gamer, so it'll be easier to play the game with Noonan, where Ursula is loyal. Ursula will always be a vote as long as she's heard.
I guess what I'm saying is, not even between like Laura, not even between Noonan and Ursula, who would you rather keep? I'm saying when they're having their tiff, when they're having their spat, who do you feel was more in the right in this argument?
I guess Ursula, because Noonan is like rolling her eyes and like meh 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 behind, well, in front of.
Yeah, she's doing it.
Essentially behind her back. And Ursula didn't know about this until someone told her. So I feel like Ursula is in the right because Ursula was on the bottom and she was like put there. But I don't know, because like they could have just all voted for Nash, but they were okay with Ursula going, so they're not all magically going to be okay.
That's my biggest takeaway from this. I feel like Ursula was probably aggravating people more than we're being let on. Mm-hmm. Here I do feel like she probably was on the wrong side of a lot of people here, but at the same time, Noonan's approach to this I felt was so off.
Yes.
I felt like she was like almost attacking Ursula and telling Ursula, this is how you should feel. This is what you should do. This is mm-hmm. why, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, why would Ursula want to work with you? And I was waiting for the Devon's line, right? From Edge of Extinction, where it's like, oh, I just can't wait to get back with all of you. This is going to be great. Awesome. And War Dog's like, awesome. Cool, man. And he's like, not. And mm-hmm. it's like, that's what I was waiting for here. Like, why would Ursula be so willing to go and work with you? And Noonan, you just have to trust us. You just have to do this. You have to do that. And of course, Ursula's going to go and try to make things work out better for her. What was interesting about this episode, though, is all three people who went home in episode 7, 8, and 9, Rich, Ursula, Max, all three of them at one point, very close to tribal council, were not going home.
Mm-hmm.
And then they overplayed their hand because they said, no, I want to get X, Y, or Z out, or I want to take a different approach. And every one of them got voted out. And I felt like Ursula's was probably the only one that I really truly understood. Rich's felt like it was a little too like in his own head. I have a revenge going on here. Max felt like it was just like, I want Miles for some reason. But Ursula's did feel like it made sense of like, why should she trust the Bronze who have been sitting here ready to vote her out the entire time mm-hmm. when there are other options out there?
Yeah. I mean, Max and Miles were only an issue of each other, where like he had Laura working with him. He had like other avenues where he could, like, if they just stick together, where Ursula was clearly ostracized. But I feel like if Ursula just worked, if they just stuck to the plan both times, the minority could have prevailed. But nobody wanted to stick to the plan. So I think there was just always the people in the minority had that one person that's just like, not the bad egg, but like that wouldn't vote with them.
Yeah.
You have Max, you have Ursula that will blow up a 4-strong minority vote.
And so let's talk about the Rich one first, because Rich's was the most shocking to me. First of all, Rich did really well in the challenge and then choked it away. They had a 2-0 lead. They blow it at the end. Petey and Ben come back. And this is when we actually find out that Petey and Ben are still on the show, because they have been totally overshadowed so far this season.
Yeah.
And then this is where we get the whole conversation of who's going to go, who's going to go, who's going to go. Mm-hmm. And so Paulie tells Rich they may boot Logan, and Rich is thinking to himself, okay, I'd be good with getting rid of Logan. Me and Logan have had an issue the entire time. Mm-hmm. I'll get rid of Logan. I will work with you. But Rich also has the option of potentially going with Kaylin and Logan and Karen and all that. Karen. Yeah. And so that's your whole original alliance. But Rich keeps doing it. And then And then AJ even goes, and this is what's crazy. This is the second episode in a row that this has happened, where AJ approaches Paulie and says he wants to work with him and he wants to boot Logan. So this is the second episode that we've heard this, where all of a sudden it almost seems like everybody's going to accidentally vote for the same person.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow this totally spins, because AJ tells Karen that Rich wants to boot Logan. And then it's just, nope. This isn't good. Let's boot Rich instead. And they all work together and boot Rich. And like, it felt like a whirlwind to me of how Rich ended up going home in this situation. The edit for 7 episodes made sense why Rich would go here. Mm-hmm. But I felt like in this episode, I totally was expecting, like, I never saw this coming with 5-10 minutes left in the episode.
Yeah. It went from like Noonan was the vote, then Ursula's the vote, Noonan's the vote, Paulie maybe? Logan. Hey, how about Rich? No, Noonan, no, Ursula. JK, it's Rich going home. Like, this was such, like, my head was spinning on who was actually going home. I had no clue who was trying to stick with who. And I'm happy with a Rich vote out here, because I like the rest of them a little bit more. Maybe Ursula is the only one that I would have been like, all right with going in the Rich spot. But they're just so chaotic on this tribe. I think like all these chaotic votes are just like bounce, 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 bounce. So many names are thrown out, or like all the names are thrown out and then ping ponging back and forth constantly. Like nothing is like, all right, we got it.
And it feels like everybody's trying to put feelers out there, but they're not just trying to put feelers out there. Everybody is putting them out, but then everybody also has an ulterior motive to what they're saying to everybody they talk to. And it feels like everybody has got too caught up in their initial relationships to actually think about, okay, what is best for me now that there's a swap? They're all still playing as if they're the original Bronze and the original Brains, where they're saying, oh, I don't like this person, I don't like this person. Like, when you had a merge, when you had a swap, you're supposed to figure out a way to work with the people that maybe you didn't want to work with, or you say, okay, that's the person who's going to go, but you don't jump on and say, nope, Logan, 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 or Miles, 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 because it's going to bite you in the ass. And Noonan and Ursula, those two taking each other on, I do understand where Ursula is coming from. I mean, they left her out to dry twice. But when it comes to that situation, also, like, you got to try to figure out a way potentially that the two of you can work together, because if the two of you can work together, then you can get rid of one of the Brains and potentially have more numbers, because if you're Noonan, you feel pretty good about the rest of the Brawn, right? You want to be able to work with the rest of the Brawn. So yeah, figure out a way to be nice to Ursula, but don't talk down to Ursula. Like what Noonan did in this episode wasn't that far off from how Allie was talking to AJ in the last couple episodes.
Yeah.
It wasn't as condescending, by no means. I don't think Noonan is a condescending of a person, but it still was very clear that Noonan was looking at Ursula as somebody beneath her, not somebody who was even.
Yeah. And I think this was a good move for the Brains on this tribe to get Rich out, because Rich spent time with Braun and is that like swing vote flip that you don't want to take with you anywhere. I think they'd really regret it if they took Rich further, because if he connects with the bronze on brain or the brains on brain, he could be that huge wild card because he has so many relationships.
And Rich ends up getting voted out, and he's, oh, you got me, guys, with the blind side, good job, smiles, whatever. I think all three of them actually are. Yeah, I think all three of them took this pretty well when they got voted out. But oh, yeah. Rich, they're all saying, oh, sneaky Rich, as he's going and everything. And he was laughing about it. There was a lot more going on with Rich behind the scenes than we saw. And we saw a lot of Rich, but there was still a lot going on with Rich that I think you're right. He was being perceived as getting too close with certain people, spinning lies, trying to get in with everybody. He was just too aggressive. He was just way too aggressive.
I mean, and the ultimatum he gave AJ with, like, you have to vote with me, or, like, we can't do this double agent BS. You have to vote with me to vote out Logan. And once Rich said that, I was like, oof, this is not looking good for him.
And I have to say, I was so wrong about AJ at the beginning of the season. AJ and Karen, I totally misread from the little bit of a Google, whatever we got, the PowerPoint. I totally misread the two of them, because AJ is playing. And whether or not you agree with his strategy, whether or not you think it's a winning strategy, whether or not you even think it's a good or a bad strategy, he is playing. And I totally agree with you. And Rich said to him, we're not doing this middle of the road BS. I'll vote you out. Wrong person to say that to. Like, AJ just immediately turned. I mean, Rich goes home 7-1-1, and Rich was the most connected person out of anybody who made the swap. That's insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have in one of my episode notes of, like, I'm really digging AJ, and AJ is here to play. Mm-hmm. And he can take a situation and really manipulate it well, but also he's falling a little bit into the trap of, I'm going to announce everything at tribal council. Now, it didn't really blow up on him, at least yet, for the hostages situation, but I feel like that's such aggressive gameplay that now he's completely exiled his brain members on the other side. Does he think that this new Braun tribe can be the solid alliance? I don't know.
But do you think that the hostage strategy and, like, Ursula goes home? So the main reason why AJ ultimately elects to vote Ursula out is because
nobody cares about her.
Nobody cares about her. So now he has these other three, which are Paulie, Noonan, and Kristen, who are well insulated with the original Braun. And he says to them, I'm going to hold them hostage. And he announces this at the mat, just like you're saying, he wants to be show offy. He wants to let everybody know exactly what he's doing. We then see one of the worst challenge performances I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. I mean, it works.
Is it working? Is the hostage strategy working? Is AJ? And the thing is, AJ has an idol, and I think he's insulated enough that he would probably know when people are going to look to vote for him. No.
Because I also heard in the next time on Survivor that they are throwing once again this next challenge. So they really don't want to lose Noonan, Paulie, or Kristen. Meanwhile, I think Kristen, everyone but PD could probably lose.
Yeah, I mean, and do we even really know how close PD and Kristen are? Not really.
No.
Whoa, we got a dog attack going on in McKenna's apartment. I don't feel like we really know much about where Kristen's at all. However, this strategy seems to be working. And the other thing is, if you're AJ, you look at the other side. Who was AJ close with from the original brains out of the people on the other side? You have Laura, you have Max, you have Zara, and you have Miles.
Zara,
which of those
Miles
people was he close with? Just Zara and Miles. Miles. He doesn't care if Max goes home. He doesn't care if Laura goes home.
He actually would prefer if Max goes home. So, like, this played right into what AJ wanted.
And he brought up the line of, if they don't throw the challenges, then the people on our tribe are going to see that the other side doesn't care about them. Your original tribe doesn't care about you. So now you're going to feel like you need to work, almost like a Stockholm syndrome kind of thing, right? It's like, they're not coming to save you. Therefore, like, you should like us. We're your hostage, like, keep whatever. And it's like, To me, it's a ballsy strategy because now you do have a challenge throw. Or maybe it's not a challenge throw, but we'll talk about it. But Max goes home, so you've lost a brain number, even though it wasn't one of your brain numbers. You're not necessarily making good relationships with the bronze on your tribe.
Mm-hmm.
And the other side, now you had Zara say right away, well, what about us? You don't care about us. Like, you're willing to leave us out to dry. But like, what about your originals? And so I just don't see how this can be a winning strategy for AJ, but he is playing so, so, so hard. And I am very impressed with how much control he has over this game right now.
Yeah, same. And I just don't know when or if it's going to blow up.
Mm-hmm. This is good from Ryan Chan. Karen said, you want people to voluntarily want to work for you, not feel like they are backed in a corner. And he's making them feel like they're backed in a corner. He's giving them ultimatums. Ultimatums don't generally work in Survivor.
Well, that's the same thing that happened with Max and Karen, Max and Zara, where Zara was like, if you don't vote with us, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like Max didn't like that and felt threatened.
And there's a lot of ultimatums going on in the season.
Yeah. Lot. It's very like, you're with me or against
yeah.
me.
And it seems to be screwing over the person who's making that ultimatum more often than not.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The challenge in the second episode, episode 8, standing on the pegs and knocking off the coconuts with Jesus Polly. I thought that was such a great challenge because there is randomness, but also strategy when they're like, all right, we got to knock out Zara's feet and things like that.
I love these peg challenges. I've loved them every season they've had them all the way back. I think the first one was 2017.
Yeah.
I love these challenges. I think they're super entertaining. I like watching the people have to navigate it, whether it's random or not. I thought this was a nice touch to add the randomness. Maybe this has happened in one of the seasons I haven't seen yet, but I thought it was a nice touch to add the randomness of knocking off the coconuts. I thought it was great to see kind of the dexterity, and eventually you're going to run out of numbers and that's just going to knock you out. But it was one where AJ and Noonan were so far behind early and they were able to catch up because they were more strategic with their throws. Whereas PD and Ben were just chucking and they were like, all right, we're going to get these pegs.
Here's
out
a handhold.
Really
sorry.
There was a couple that they were hitting where like
no one was on it.
Yeah. Pauly was reaching over to take it out and then putting his hand back where it was. He wasn't even moving. So I thought it was an interesting challenge, though. I thought it was a lot of fun. And this is one I'm surprised they don't bring to the US. I feel like a peg type challenge, that's an easy challenge to build.
Easy.
Like, yeah, you'd have to be a little bit big with it, but at the end of the day, this is very basic. And they used to do peg challenges all the time back in the day.
Yeah, and you could even say, like, winner takes their coconuts.
Yeah.
Because if you're using the coconuts, like, why not just, like, winner takes coconuts back to the beach? It's an easy reward. That's not really a reward, but it is a reward.
Yeah. 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 I mean, and there you go. And so I was into this. I like this challenge. We do get Jesus Polly up there. He hangs on for a while where he's just literally holding on to it with like his feet out. His feet aren't touching anything or anything. Mm-hmm. And so that tribe loses. It's the second time they lose. They go back and Karen wants to separate Polly and Noonan. And AJ says, I agree with you. But I think we should do Ursula first, and here's why. And this is where he lays out the hostage plan.
Mm-hmm.
And much to my shock, Karen says, I thought my plan made sense, but yours makes more sense, and goes along with it and doesn't actually like argue it with anybody behind the scenes. I thought for sure that was Karen just kind of appeasing AJ for a brief moment, and then she was going to go back to somebody and say, AJ is out of his mind. He wants to do this, that, whatever. Maybe she go tell Logan or something. Instead, she just goes along with it. And
well, AJ's her main alliance now on this tribe.
I understand that. But with how aggressive everybody has been playing, for AJ to throw that out there and her to just straight up say, I thought mine made sense, but your makes more sense. When it's, we're going to hold them hostage. I understand that that's her closest ally, but I never thought she'd go along with this. And we do hear Kaylin saying, I think it should be Polly. Like he pushes back a little bit, but Karen really doesn't. And I was just surprised by that. Cause it does feel like a harebrained scheme at the end of the day, but maybe it's going to work. I mean, I don't know. Maybe
we also have Noonan spilling the beans that Karen was going to be the four's vote. I think Polly was in on the four Kristen was in on the four, and I think Ursula was even in on the four until Noonan blew it up. Because she really is that adamant about not working with Ursula. Like, they could have done, like, bygones be bygones. Ursula votes for Noonan. Noonan has voted for Ursula. And now, you know, we're good. Each name has been on parchment. But, like, I don't understand what the spill was. And then AJ was on it with, like, I don't think that plan came from Ursula. I think that plan came from Polly. And I was like, what?
Yeah. He is playing. That's what I'm saying. AJ is playing. He
understands, like, the math, the logic, can draw a map back. Like, I don't think we've seen that really, or I haven't seen, like, that type of, like, really logical thinking in a while or ever. Like, I feel like he's just so, like, can retrace the steps of a plan rather than, like, emotionally go.
So he had a great line in this episode. A great line, and this could be a winner quote. I have to bring this one up. He says, when I play poker, it's all about reading people and figuring out the people at my table. And the longer I play poker with you, the more money I take from you. And I think that that's what we're starting to see develop. That could be a winner quote, because the longer he stays in this game, the better his chances of winning are. Everything he's saying seems like it's so out there. How's that going to work? Blah, blah, blah. And yet it's working. And it starts to give you that Tony vibe of, wait, does he have the social skills, and is he working and playing with the right type of people that this could make sense? And it's like, maybe there is serious potential there. I'm very surprised at how well things are working out for AJ right now. And I thought that quote was a massive one for him from a winner standpoint.
If he gets to the merge and is able to, like, hear plans and, like, logically trace them back, then I think he could really have a grip on this merge and everyone's relationships in the merge as well.
I'm trying to read this one here in the side. Yeah, so it's Musecki Sedimo, which pretty much he made a deal with Noonan, and they probably asked him to pledge his loyalty by asking the other side to throw a challenge. He knew it was Paulie who hatched the plan, but decided not to go for him. I mean, it's been a... Paulie is playing hard, but Paulie hasn't had to do anything really yet. We know Paulie has the idol, but Paulie hasn't had to use it. He hasn't had to do anything.
Yep.
That next tribal would be very, very, very interesting if they lose one more time. Because AJ thinks he has all...
Just go Kristen?
Well, AJ thinks he has all the control, and I don't think he does. I don't know. I mean, it would depend. Because remember, I do feel like... They were talking about, we're going to boot this one person. We want to split up Noonan and Paulie, but we're going to boot this one person first, which is Ursula.
Yeah.
Now it would make sense to split up Noonan and Paulie. That it becomes a very interesting tribal council if AJ's feeling really good about himself, because Paulie has an idol. So Paulie can play that idol and can save himself. And then Paulie stays in the game, and so does Noonan. And then you have, Kristen was the only person who survived this tribal council who voted for Ursula, or who didn't vote for Ursula, who voted for Noonan, voted with Ursula. She survives this tribal council, but is she too easy of a vote? Like, she feels like a layup. And at this point, I don't know if they're going to want to go for a layup. I think they're going to want to split Paulie and Noonan. And if they go that route, that could end up backfiring big time on the brains in a way that, if they just went for Kristen, Paulie doesn't play his idol. Kristen goes home. We're down to six people on that tribe, whatever. I don't think they're going to go for that though.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if they go to tribal council or not, because in that next immunity challenge in episode 10, they are struggling to get that last point, and Ben is trying to throw the challenge. So
wait, does Kristen have an idol too? That's what Joshua Martin says here. Kristen.
She found it in the sandbags. That's right.
She was the one who found it in the sandbags. That's right. They focused so much on the Miles one that I forgot that that's what happened. So she found it, and Noonan called her out right away.
Yeah. So that challenge is in episode 9. We can just go there.
Let me throw this comment up real quick, and then we'll jump to episode 9. Gregory Washington: AJ is target number one in the merge, and Paulie is playing the game that AJ wishes he was playing. I think that's a really good analysis there of what, just to wrap up what we were talking about. I think that's really good analysis of that.
For sure. Logan hates the hostages plan. Pretty much everyone on the tribe hates the hostages plan and are sus of AJ, but it gets the other tribe thinking on the mat. And we hear a lot of Miles just talking, and Zara and Laura are just like, hey, Miles, be quiet. And they're frustrated with him because he just won't. And he thinks he's like on the bottom, though. He's not making inroads, but Max is just like, I'm sitting pretty.
Mm-hmm. And we get to the challenge. Let's talk about the challenge. Cause yes, mm-hmm. like Miles isn't really close with anyone, which is why I think they were all willing for Miles to be sacrificed here if necessary. But they were, I think most of them were probably happier that Max went home. But I do think that Miles doesn't feel that long for this game. I feel like he was bailed out big time by this idol. But let's talk about this immunity challenge with they all go. We get AJ saying his thing. And then there's the option. Once they build the puzzle, it says there's an idol hidden in one of the sandbags. Everybody from Orange immediately runs back to go look for the idol in the sandbags, while Blue is like, let's figure this stuff out first. Then once you make your ball, you can go back or something like that. How did you feel about this? Were they doing this just because there was an idol in play? Ultimately, Miles gets it, and he was the one who probably looked the least, which was hilarious. Good for him.
He just walked up and was just like, it's right here, guys. Like, Miles was like, let's do the challenge. We can win. But Braun didn't want to win, so all of Braun went to go and look in the sandbags, and he was left doing the puzzle with, like, whoever else was in. Laura was in the challenge. Like, not many people wanted to do this challenge on the new Brain Tribe. And then
it was like Morgan, Ben, PD, Kate all just run back and start looking. Jesse starts looking for the, like, they all just start looking for the idol.
Yeah, exactly. And then Braun is like, oh, there's an idol in the sandbags. Okay. And then continue the challenge, because once they get their ball up, it just depends on the last person to get their ball, and then they win the challenge. So the fact that Brain's almost caught up is crazy.
They almost caught up, but I feel like Karen was going to hit that eventually, and we just didn't get to see who the Karen of the other side was. That's the tricky part with this type of challenge, is everybody has to make their own ball. So Karen had to do it. And if Karen's just not capable, Karen's not capable. But we don't know who on the other side was going to be the Karen. We could have seen them come all the way back. There could have been somebody worse than Karen at this challenge on the other side. So it, like, you never really know how close you're getting, because somebody might be really good and somebody might be bad. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, though, the Braun tribe, not only did they win the immunity challenge, they do find their idol. Like, they have plenty of time to do it. Kristen finds the idol with really no trouble. She tries to hide it again. Noonan calls her out on it. But the Brains, if the Brawns who are on Brains, which is just the stupidest sentence of all time, if the Brawns who are on Brains truly didn't want to win this challenge because they are worried about what AJ was saying, they sure came to that conclusion very quickly without actually being able to have a discussion with each other. And I think that is pretty telling. So I don't think that they were actually trying to throw this challenge, like Zara says. I think that they just sucked at this challenge and just went in with the wrong approach, and it took them forever. Because what ended up happening when Miles picked it up, somebody had emptied out the bag with the idol in it and dumped it into the water and not seen the idol. So Miles comes by and picks up. Miles doesn't actually open a bag to grab that idol. He just walks up and grabs it. Somebody messed that up. They just went in the wrong approach. And maybe they're trying to throw the challenge in the next episode, which we'll talk about when we get there next week. But I don't think that they actually threw this one, because they didn't have time to discuss it. And Zara was standing there very adamant, saying, you all aren't going to try to throw this challenge, right? Please try to win it. Please try to win it. I'll sit out, but you better try to win it. I just think that this was and it was Zara and Laura who both sat out. They both sat out of this challenge, if I remember correctly. So
it was Zara and Laura. I thought it wasn't it Zara and Kate?
Yes, it was Zara and Kate. You're right. Zara.
There was a point at the raft where Petey and Ben were saying, like, pick it up slowly. And then Morgan was like, are we throwing it? And they were like, yeah. So
oh, okay. I thought she said, are we throwing it? Or somebody said, are you throwing it? I didn't hear anybody say anything. But there you
I
go.
I think might have been like a head nod or something to something that
Gregory called it out too. So I must have just missed that. I mean, again, when you're watching the three episodes day, and then you finally sit down and record however long later, I might have just missed that in my notes here. But
yeah.
I didn't feel like they were really I didn't feel like they were necessarily trying. But if that's what they were doing, it makes sense. And I guess this gets to my ultimate point though. How does AJ's plan work? Because right now, you come out of this episode, it's Max versus Miles, which are both original brains. Max goes home, which is good for AJ because Miles is better with him or whatever. But now the Braun have an 8-7 advantage. The Braun have an idol on your side. And if the other side does keep throwing challenges, you're outnumbered 8-6, then 8-5, then 8-4. And whenever they merge, I don't know if they merge at 13 or 12 mm-hmm. or 14 or whatever it is. They are outnumbering you every time. So how does your plan work? And then are they really going to say, oh, let's go work with that AJ guy who held our people hostage? And are the hostages going to want to work with AJ? That's where it's too complicated for me. And that's where I think that they're just straight screwed, because maybe if they would have done this challenge head to head, it would have been better for AJ to have been able to vote out a Paulie or a Noonan or a Kristen if Kristen doesn't go and find that idol. So
yeah.
Too many idols too on this right now. Holy crap. There's a lot. I'm just like thinking about that. There's a lot of idols.
Yeah. Well, luckily two were just played. So we have, I don't think we have anything over on brains.
Because Miles is played his and then Max's is gone.
And then we have Paulie with one and AJ with one on Braun.
And Kristen.
Oh, and Kristen.
Yeah.
It was interesting because they could dictate the length of the challenge too. Mm-hmm. Like if Braun didn't want the brains to find the idol, they could have just kept going with the challenge and then just like finished it out without like the brains maybe even getting the idol, but then they lose their chance on the idol too. So it's just like, what do you do?
Well, and then that sucked for Karen's position because she was the last one throwing. So she never got a chance to go look. Like if I'm Karen, I'm almost saying, I'm going to go back and look. We have a huge advantage. Let me go look. Yeah. Let me go look, everybody. I know it's taken me a while, but you're all looking.
AJ never went to look either, one, because he has one, but I think he wanted to seem like tribe strong or something like that.
Well, and it keeps suspicion off of you because if they don't know you have your other idol, and then you're not going and looking, they can't say, oh, let's vote for AJ this time. I think Kristen will get the majority of votes next episode to flush the idol. It's just going to be a matter of, can they split it?
AJ got the idol, like one of the first, he has the OG brain idol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're down to a manageable 15 players now. So like, I feel like we're into, and like, I don't mind the bigger cast. For US, I wish that they would go to 24, especially for a returning player season. However, it is hard to keep track of every advantage, every person. Then you get a tribe. So it's hard to do that when it's three episodes a week and like, you know, you have a lot going on. But I do feel like we're down to 15. It's more manageable. Ben is starting to talk and you're starting to see who your players are. Ben, Petey, Morgan, Kate. Jesse, really. I mean, Jesse had a good read today, but we're not really getting confessionals from Jesse at all. Those five over there, we're not hearing from. Kaylin, we're not really hearing from. And Kristen, we're not hearing from. So what does that leave you with? That leaves you with Laura. That leaves you with Miles. That leaves you with Zara a little bit, but not really. AJ, Logan, Noonan, Paulie, Karen. So there's 15 left, and about half of them feel like they're the main stars of the season at this point. I would say the winner's probably coming from one of those seven.
Yeah, yeah. You lost Rich in your winner pick update. And then who did you pick? You picked Rich and Logan and then Morgan and
God, who was my
Jesse?
Guy? It was Jesse. I don't think Jesse has a chance. I think Jesse's playing a pretty solid game. I thought, you know, even, after he gets voted out, Max says, I felt like I had a really good relationship with Jesse. This surprises me. It felt genuine. Mm-hmm. I think Jesse's playing a really good game. I just don't feel like we're getting the content from Jesse that would suggest that Jesse's ultimately going to win.
Do you think he ramps up at the merge at all? Like, is
there Joe Bob-omb says that Jesse has the sixth highest confessional count? What?
That's crazy.
There's no way. Australian Survivor Reigns versus Braun too, because now I can't even answer your question, because if it's like, if he's already getting it, then no, he's not gonna go up. All right, so there is a Survivor 8. Okay, so let's see. Link to spreadsheet. I love a good spreadsheet. All right, AJ has 36. This is from, I don't know who this is. This is just on Survivor AU Reddit. Hopefully it's not the spoiler one. AJ has 36. Noonan and Karen have 26. Logan has 19. Laura, 16. Paulie, 15. Max, 14. Miles, 13. Zara and Ursula, 12. Jesse, 8. So no, okay. Jesse's down there. Kaylin, 6. Morgan, 5. PD, 4. Kristen, 3. Kate and Ben, 2.
Mm-hmm.
So Kate, Ben, Kristen, PD, Morgan, Kaylin, Jesse. That's pretty much who I said.
But I feel we still know Kaylin a little bit because he had his coconut moment and he's like been in conversations.
And this was before episode 9. So this was after episode 8. So.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, sorry. But you really think Kaylin, knowing that, like you really think Kaylin?
No, I don't think he can win, but I feel like I know him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know Ben.
No, I don't know Ben. I don't know Ben. Kaylin is a fascinating one because we did get his strategy.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have Ben's strategy still.
Yeah. I think Ben just seems like one of those loyal, moving forward, push on kind of guys.
I mean, it's a fun cast. They're playing. Mm-hmm. They really are playing. I mean, if you, you know, I think I ask you this at the end of every week, but if you had a pick, like after this week, who do you think's winning?
Paulie has such, I feel like such a target on his back and an uphill road, but I feel like Paulie has a really great shot at it. He's not in the forefront, but he's not in the background. Like we were saying, like Paulie is playing a decent under the radar-ish game. It just depends on if they go to tribal council, then he could be in hot water. I still really like Karen, but if they go to tribal, who is Paulie idling out? Probably Karen, because her name was already thrown out. So I think
he would try to idle out AJ.
I feel like that's the obvious thing to do, though.
But if you don't think he has an idol, then that's what mm-hmm. I would do.
But you know Karen for sure doesn't.
You don't know that for sure. You don't know that any better than you know that AJ doesn't have one for sure. You know, like the only thing that Paulie knows is that he has one and he knows Kristen has one because everybody in the tribe mm-hmm. knows Kristen has one. He doesn't know who has it from the original Brains.
Yeah, true.
You know, and he didn't see the other tribal council. I know there's a lot of Matt chat in this show, but we don't know, like, they're not going to say, oh, Miles and Max both had idols. Like, and mm-hmm. they probably don't even know Max had one because yeah. Max gets voted out unless he announced it, which they probably would have kept in the edit. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like right now we are probably, who would I say? We're probably being set up. I honestly think we might be being set up for a Paulie win. If all keeps going this way, but if it's not him, I do feel like we are still being set up a little bit with Karen. I feel like Karen's had a lot going on, and I feel like Karen has been in your face. And I know mm-hmm. that AU edits very differently from Survivor US. And I feel like Karen has been very in your face. Her strategy has been in your face. I feel like she's making the relationship. She has the coven. She has everybody else. I don't really feel like there's so many people. I just don't feel good about so many people out there. Laura could still be a dark horse, but like I already said this, but Ben, PD, Kate, Morgan, Zara, Jesse, and I think Miles, honestly, you can write every single one of them off, which means the only person from the Orange Tribe who's still left is Laura. And then I feel like on the other side, you can write off Kaylin. You can write off Kristen.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you'd be like AJ, Logan, Noonan, Paulie, Karen. To me, that feels like Paulie or Karen more than the others. Although Logan, yeah. I mean, Logan was my preseason winner pick, so I'll take mm-hmm. Logan.
Yeah, but for sure.
I don't know.
Are, I don't know. And,
yeah, go ahead. There you go.
Zara and Miles making up after this vote?
I don't think so.
Miles is going to be a lone wolf the rest of the game.
I just don't like. What's the benefit for Zara to work with Miles if it seems like they're just going to get picked off if that tribe keeps losing? Make Miles be the lone wolf. Let them get voted out. Don't give them any reason to put your name down, Zara.
True.
That's how I feel about that. And then Ryan Chan says, funny stat for Edgic, every eliminated player except for Zen, who is medevaced, has an OTTN or MORN rating, which means over the top negative or middle of the road negative, for anybody who doesn't understand Edgic, which is really funny. So they've all been negative. It has been very much the people that we're supposed to see go are going. And I felt that way. It feels like pretty much everybody we've seen go has been shown in a negative light, not a positive one.
Yeah. Agreed.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else. No, I
don't think so.
I'm feeling good. All right. Well, McKenna and I will be doing our Brain vs. Brawn 1 recap for our patrons over on patreon.com/thespecialist. So check that out if you want to. We are going to be live again next week, although we have to figure out what time. McKenna and I have to talk about the time on Tuesdays or Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. McKenna's schedule change, so stay tuned for that. Also, for US Survivor, we're not going to be podcasting live Wednesday night. Will and I will be live Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Pacific, 11:30 a.m. Eastern. I'm out on the West Coast right now. I'm in LA. That's why my setup is weird. My face is like pitch black in this room here. It's so dark. I feel like I'm in like a cave. I have no lighting coming at my face. It's just all around me is the light, and I don't have a way of changing that. So anyway, I am sitting here in here. I'm actually more like blue. That's really the color I am when I sit here. But I am going to be live 11:30 a.m. on Thursday morning. I think this is the first time maybe since I had strep throat during Koh Rong that there is not a podcast the Wednesday of a Survivor episode. So stay tuned for that, other than a finale. Those don't count, though, because we go to the parties. I'm going to be at Bryce and Wen up at Idle Hour this week in North Hollywood. So if you're going to be there on Wednesday night, come say hi. Look forward to being there. Those are always really fun events. It starts at 6. I can't wait. So we're not going to be podcasting because we'd have to watch on East Coast somehow at 5, and that would just be a nightmare. So big schedule change. Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Pacific, 11:30 a.m. Eastern. So check that one out. Deal or No Deal Island, Blake and I will be live tomorrow in the afternoon. It seems like all of you don't care anymore, but we will still be there. We will still be supporting. We're still going to care about the show, even though Dr. Will is gone. On Thursday, Will and I will be doing the finale of The Traitors. McKenna, are you doing Amazing Race Friday?
Yeah, probably right after you go live. Well, we're doing it on Thursday, probably right after you go live with Survivor.
Okay, that's good to know. So yeah, because we can't do two at the same time.
Right.
So we'll have to figure that out. Okay, so there you go. Amazing Race coming in. So McKenna will be doing that. Again, check out the Patreon, patreon.com/thespecialist. And on Sunday, I'm actually going to be joined by Gordon Holmes. Who used to do Power Rankings over at Xfinity and now kind of does his own thing. But I met him at the Survivor premiere event. So I'm going to be joined by him for my predictions, Power Rankings, which I'm really excited to do because he is the godfather of the Power Rankings in the Survivor community. So that's
going
to be a really
fun podcast. Which are still going on. So if you want to submit yours, become a patron.
Yeah, you have until tomorrow. And there was a mess up. Nobody's going to make it this far, but I sent out a message to all of our patrons. There was a mess up in the way that it was set up over on Real TV Fantasy. So you may have to change around the way that your stuff was put in. Go check and make sure your rankings are fine. It was weird. It was showing up as 17 at the top and one at the bottom. It is now 1-17 and you'd rank them safest to least safe. So do it that way. Otherwise, yeah. Thank you all so much for listening. Like this video, subscribe to the channel, and we will see you all next time. Oh, and Survivor Rewind, McKenna, you didn't say that.
Yeah, well, everyone knows.
Friday.